Chapter 2. Into the Unknown. As I listened in amazement, Professor Challenger continued his strange story. Having seen the pictures, he eagerly went in search of the red cliffs that Maplewhite had drawn. After many adventures, he found them. He realized that they formed the sides of a high plateau which stretched for miles in both directions. The cliffs were too steep to climb up or down. This was why some dinosaurs had been able to hide away up there for millions of years. Challenger saw a huge flying lizard perched on a tree that grew out of the pillar of rock. It was a pterodactyl. He took photographs of the creature before shooting it. "Won't everyone be astonished to see this when I get back home to London?" he'd thought. But on his journey back through the forest, there was a disaster. His canoe capsized when he was going over some rapids, and his camera was lost in the water. "I kept a tight grip on the pterodactyl," he told me, "but most of its body was torn away and carried off by the river. All I have is this." From a drawer, he took out a piece of wing about a meter long. "I started to tell people about what I'd seen, but they called me a fraud," he said bitterly.
"But I believe you," I said.
"Well, if you do, why don't you come along to the Zoological Society this evening? I'm going to try to tell my story again. It'll be nice to know that someone there is my ally, even if that person is only an ignorant newspaper reporter."
The meeting was at 8 o'clock. The hall was packed with people. At first, Challenger spoke very calmly and the audience listened quietly. But as he began to explain that all the other scientists had got it wrong and that dinosaurs still existed, the audience got restless. There were murmurs of "Bosh!" and "Prove it!" Challenger started to lose his temper and his voice became louder. This only made the audience noisier. Now there were shouts of "Liar!" and "Throw him off the stage!" and "Kick him out of the hall!" Challenger stopped trying to make his speech. He glared at the crowd and said,
"Very well. If you think I'm a liar, then choose 3 men you do trust to come with me to South America and I'll show them the dinosaurs. Who wants to come?"
A tall, thin, shabby man with a pointy beard stood up. He was Professor Summerlee, one of Challenger's rivals.
"I'll go," he said. "You'll need a proper scientist to test the evidence."
A handsome man with an elegant moustache and ginger hair stood up next. It was Lord John Roxton, the famous hunter and explorer.
"I'll go," he said. "You'll need someone like me on your trip, as the Amazon's a dangerous place."
I jumped up now, thinking this was my big chance to impress Gladys.
"I'll go," I cried excitedly. "You'll need a newspaper reporter with you who can write up your story."
Everyone cheered and a group of laughing students carried us around the hall on their shoulders. I felt like I was already a hero. I won't bore you with all the details of how we planned our trip, how we crossed the Atlantic and what we did when we first arrived in Brazil. However, I will tell you a little more about my travelling companions. Summerlee usually looked fed up and he complained a lot. However, he did occasionally get excited, like when he saw an interesting butterfly which he could catch in his net. He was absent-minded, messy, and liked to smoke a pipe. Lord John was as tall and thin as Summerlee, but very smartly dressed. He had a gentle voice and a friendly manner, but I also knew he could be a fierce and ruthless fighter. A few years ago, he'd fought a war against the slave drivers of South America and had killed their leader, Pedro Lopez. Also with us were some hired men. A big, strong African called Zambo, a rather shifty Portuguese called Gomez, and some Indians. Our journey was by steamer, then canoe, then foot. It took us first through the Amazonian forests, where the trees reached high above our heads. It was like being in a green and leafy cathedral. Climbing plants wound their way around the trees, reaching up to the light. Their scented flowers were enormous, bigger than anything I'd seen back home. There were a few animals on the ground, bears, tapirs and anteaters, but most of the life was way up above us. monkeys, sloths, snakes, and hundreds of birds and insects. We also sometimes heard the sound of Indian war drums beating out the message, "We will kill you if we can." When we had to leave the canoes behind and start walking, the path climbed up through thick groves of bamboo and then out onto the plains, where there was only the occasional clump of trees. Summerlee and Challenger were continually bickering as we went along. They couldn't agree on anything. Many days later, there before us were the steep red cliffs, stretching as far as the eye could see. As we approached, a huge grey bird flapped slowly up from the ground and flew off, very low and straight.
"Did you see that?" cried Challenger excitedly. "It was another pterodactyl!"
"Then a fiddlestick," said Summerlee, sneering. "It was a stork."
"It wasn't any bird that ever I clapped eyes on before," said Lord John quietly. So there we were, on the edge of the unknown. Who knew what lay before us?